Baker Mayfield, undraftable, off my board.
The Cleveland Browns select Baker Mayfield.
What a beautiful throw by the Baker!
Victor! Hasta la vista, baby! Touchdown!
All right, welcome in to tonight's game. Well, we're turning this into like game night preview here. It's your game day, game night, whenever you listen to this ordeal. It is the host of OBR Film Breakdown, Jake Burns, here with the host of All Eyes on Cleveland's, Brad Ward. Brad, how are you tonight, man?
What's happening, Jake? I'm fired up. I'm ready for Sunday full of football, especially the 4 o'clock window.
It's gonna be a weird game. I've settled on that. Let's talk about the weirdness. I'll throw out a couple things, as we always do here, to remind you, it is, like Brad said, a 4:05 kick on Fox, so it's not a CBS game. It is a Fox game because you're crossing over, and it seems like whenever there's a crossover, the Browns are going to get Fox. It's weird, but anyway, they're going with Kevin Kugler, your favorite Mark Sanchez, and Laura Oakman will be the sideline reporter for the game. Up in Cleveland, the weather looks weird, Brad. It is going to be low 60s, but it does look like 20-plus mile-per-hour wind gusts are going to play a factor. We're hoping to avoid those wind gusts until later in the season, but that will be a thing. It will be a big part of it. I'll ask you this. You know, Baker's pretty experienced now with the wind gusts that have happened over the last few years in Cleveland. He's accustomed to it. I would imagine Kyler's never stepped foot in Cleveland and into First Energy Stadium with these kind of weird wind gusts that come through the cracks in the stadium, right? Through the different angles it can come through. I would just say that it feels like that could be an advantage Cleveland, right?
Yeah, you know, this game, you know, when they play 4 o'clock games, it's going to be, you know, what, 60 degrees at the warmest tomorrow, probably. Mm-hmm. It's a fall day, and it's one of those games, Jake, that's going to start in the light and end in the dark. And it's going to be windy, and I love that. I love that fall atmosphere, the 4 o'clock game. I think it would be definitely to the Browns' favor.
Should be. We'll see how Kyler, who they should – I mean, based on how they typically play, their personnel usage, they're going to throw it a lot. We'll see if they throw it short instead of pushing it vertically. That would be to the favorite of Cleveland, I would imagine. But there's a lot of moving parts here, Brad. We should talk about the moving parts. So we heard early in the week Chandler Jones was out, Rodney Hudson was out. You feel pretty good. You know, we understand that the Browns' injury list is pretty lengthy, but we hadn't heard anybody was out. And then, boom, all of a sudden Nick Chubb is out. Kind of unexpected. I think most people, myself included, just thought, okay, he played all the way through the final series in the game. He had like 3 snaps on that final series. He just probably needs some rest. I mean, there's a lot of guys with multiple listings on the – on the injury report. I thought he just needed rest, but something happened to that calf. My big thing is concern, panic. I don't think we're panicked here, but how high is your concern for not having him in this one?
Not so much, just because Kareem Hunt has been playing so well. I think that he could really have a monster game. How much do you think they use Dearness Johnson? I mean, like, I can't imagine that they try to keep obviously going to give him some carries, but it's not going to be a normal split. You think Kareem gets the majority of the touches here, right?
I would have to think so. He might get 8 to 10, depending on game feel, right? If they're leading, I would imagine he steps into a reduced role that Kareem had, minus you want Kareem on the field, obviously, for those passing situations where normally if he was in his normal role, he would come onto the field for Nick, but he's staying on the field. They could say, okay, if we need to go 11 personnel and throw, maybe it's the 2-minute, but Kareem needs a break. They could go Felton there. I don't know. I mean, Dearness is a good runner, but he's more of a runner, in my opinion, from under center than anything else. So I don't see a multi-faceted approach to them. But he did have some nice catches in the preseason, Brad. He did have a couple nice screen catches that he ended up making some nice gains out of. It's a nice opportunity for him. What is he in year 3 now in Cleveland? So He definitely knows the NFL skill level. He knows the offense well, having been around the offense for 2 years. He made some nice runs in that Dallas game. He had the game-clinching run in the Colts game last year. So he's been around, and he's capable. I mean, he's probably like a lot of backups in most situations in the NFL. So he's capable. I think he could get anywhere from 6 to 12 touches. Wouldn't surprise me. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, that sounds right. You know, I just think, you know, I don't want to downplay the significance of Nick Chubb because obviously he's fabulous, but just Kareem Hunt has been better than he's been any other year, I think, with the Browns so far this year. He's just been fantastic up to this point. So, I mean, running game all around has just been next level. So I just want to, you know, I think he could have a monster day.
He'll have more opportunity than ever. And with the wind gust, they'll try to run. There's no doubt about that. They're to go through the list of Cardinals people missing this game. One of them is Zach Allen, who's a nice interior piece for them, does a good job. So they'll be who they are. I don't expect Kevin Stefanski to throw what he normally is out the window just because they're down. Nick, they put up some points in games last year. Nick missed. There was a couple they didn't because the weather was pretty atrocious. If I recall, the Raiders game was pretty atrocious weather wise, and then. I'm probably forgetting one other. The Texans Eagles. Game. He was not Eagles. He played. Yeah, those games were bad. I'm trying to think of games he didn't play in that the weather was bad.
I was thinking the wind games.
The Raiders game was pretty terrible wind up there. And then I'm probably forgetting one that people will check me on. But he missed a couple of those, and they still put up points. I mean, I don't know. You got to get this game. You're going to talk about it in a minute, but it probably ties into how well Baker plays. He's got to come out and play pretty well in this. He cannot put up the type of performance he has over the last 3 or 4 weeks and expect to be okay, right? They could end up being fine, run the ball fine, and ice things away, but you would hope that this is a game where Baker can find a rhythm, find himself, and be more of the reason they win, right?
Yeah, I would think you're going to have to. I mean, you know, Arizona's defense, you know, they are creative, obviously. You know, I watched a lot of last week's game against the 49ers just to kind of try to get a feel for them. But, you know, they like to bring a lot of people up to the line of scrimmage, you know, six guys, some guys standing up. You know, they like to move around a lot up there and then drop guys into zone, need a little fire zone blitz stuff up there. But they like to show a lot of guys up at the line of scrimmage. And I'm certain with if their corners are healthy, I'm sure they've got to be thinking, stop the run and make Baker beat us. I mean, that's just common sense, I would think, at this point.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, I made note of it in a couple of my previews that they even went to a 6-2 last week. They were playing only three defensive backs, two corners and one safety, and daring San Francisco with Trey Lance in his early career start to beat them. I think they could do some of that this week too, as a means to challenge Baker and challenge the group of receivers to beat us. And I think that's not the worst way to go based on how well the Browns have been running it. The only team in NFL history's first five games have been a plus EPA rush statistic. So they're putting up expected points added in the rush game like few others have. Most teams figure it out later in the year. I think since 2001, there have been 25 instances where teams strung five together, but not at the beginning of a season. So unique in that sense, how well they have done to start.
Incredible.
To some of the gambling stuff we like to talk about here real quick, we hit on it. The Browns have settled in at a 3.5-point favorite. So they're giving those 3.5 points, which feels right. It moved a little bit, and the line went down a little bit to 48.5. And here's the obvious reason why, and the big plot of this game. We know it was funny. I did my Friday podcast right after that, and Brad Nick is ruled out. So I couldn't get that one on Thursday night. So, yeah, didn't have Nick's analysis in there then. Did one last night, and of course, an hour after that, the big news drops, which is that he's dealing with a little bit of a shoulder, which plays into all of this stuff. But Cliff Kingsbury's ruled out of the game, quarterbacks coach Cam Turner, which is pretty amazing to me, Brad, that those two couldn't have passed it to Kyler. It's kind of strange. Those two are the coaches that spend the most time around him. Yeah. Zach Allen also ruled out of this game. So it looks like DC, Vance Joseph, special teams coordinator Jeff Rogers are going to sort of split the duties.
What's up with that? What's up with the split? I mean, don't you want one guy having an executive decision over, I don't know.
I would have thought so too, but they're doing a similar thing on offense, which is even more strange. I will say, according to some places, Chandler Jones tested positive earlier in the week. I haven't heard he's been cleared. Did you hear he's been cleared or not?
I heard he was out.
Yeah, I heard he was out too, but this recent CBS coverage says that he was tested positive earlier this week, but is uncertain. I don't know. I don't think he's going to be a part of this whole thing, but I guess we could be in for a Sunday morning shocker, but as we sit here and record on Saturday night, I think he's out, which hurts their defense because he is one of the guys they like to be their only stand-up edge rusher. I mean, they're a 3-4 by nature, but they like to get creative and use him as their only sort of edge rusher, true turn-the-corner type edge rusher. So that's a big hit, as we all knew. We knew that one early in the week, but this recent stuff is big. And as far as I know of recent, Albert Breer had updated some of the information about how they're going to structure the offense. Cliff is virtually able to meet with them tonight. But this is what they're going to do. Sean Kugler's the run game coordinator and offensive line coach. And let me tell you, those guys, O-line coaches, do not get much involved in the pass concept. So people are like, he's going to be the OC. I'm like, okay, I don't really know how that's going to work because I just know that the O-line guys don't worry themselves much about it. They worry about what their O-line guys do and how the run game can structure adjustments and so on. So what Breer says, they're going to be a group effort in pass game with young assistants getting a majority of the opportunities to call those pass plays. Jeff Rogers will handle the on-field challenges and game management. It seems like a mess because, like, Vance Joseph has NFL success. Like, he's not success. I mean, he failed out of Denver, but, like, you know, he's been around. Yeah, he's been around as a head coach. So it's weird to not have him outright named as the head coach for the game and then figuring out the offense. So, listen, man, it's just a bunch of moving parts, and it can be an absolute disaster where they're clearly not on the same page all day, and they don't put up any points, or they will, and they'll be the media darling for the next week, Brad. That's just kind of the way this whole thing can go. Where are you at on it? How confident do you feel about the disarray the Cardinals are in? And they don't have anybody with play calling experience, so if they figure it out, like, major kudos to them. I'm sure Cliff will try to, you know, sort of script as much as he possibly can script for them. But, you know, this is completely different than the Browns. Alex Van Pelt, although he only had minimal play calling experience from his Buffalo days, he's been around forever. And Kevin Stefanski was really, really, really considering AVP to even call the plays. And he's got experience in the preseason leading up to, like he's an actual named OC. They don't have a named OC because they don't have anyone that could do it. Otherwise, Cliff would name an OC. He just has a run game coordinator, and he handles all of it. So Cleveland, although it was the worst timing you could possibly imagine last year, still had people capable and had experience doing it. Even Callahan is experienced as an OC. So this is way different to me. And, like, if they overcome it and put up a bunch of points, it'll just be because their guys made some one-on-one plays, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it would make sense to me, you know, the way you're describing, you know, not really anybody there to captain this, that, you know, Clifford may lean on Kyler, you know. I mean, put him in a position to make a lot of the decisions on the field, right? you know, give him a couple calls, give him some freedom, give him some hurry up stuff. Let him make a lot of the calls on the go, I would think, more than, you know, after your scripted plays, he's going to have the best feel for the game. And I would put a lot on his shoulders, probably.
Yeah, I would too. I would think, I even tweeted out last night that they're second in no huddle snaps in the entire league. So, like, they could certainly say, we're just going to tempo and Kyler can just call it by feel. And I don't know if they're there yet. This is only Kyler's, what, third year now? Maybe they're there yet. Maybe they're not. We'll figure out quite quickly how well Arizona is tied into what they do. I mean, not that assistant coaches, position coaches can't handle this stuff. You know, these guys fully dive into the scheme. They know what they're doing, but it is different to sequence plays and get the calls in the correct way and the collaboration stuff and how you're all working on the headset. There's a lot of things there. And it can just take one or two things going wrong to miscommunicate a play or whatever. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to pay attention to. If they go a lot of no huddle, it would not at all surprise me, just as a means to eliminate the Browns gaining advantages by getting together in a huddle and maybe making some blitz calls. If you want to keep that stuff at bay, then you probably would try to do that to eliminate the Browns' level of communication. It could be anything. That's the only thing that works against you here is you have now no tendencies. You have some early in the game. From what they do, but I wouldn't be surprised if they come out of the gates quick and try to hit a trick play, up a trick play or two to try to get some cheap points on the board. I wouldn't be surprised by any of it. It's all on the table for them this week. It's the weirdest situation. I know that the Saints dealt with something weird like that at the beginning of the season, and I know that obviously what Cleveland dealt with, but this is a strange one, particularly because of how their coaching structure works. So, we've covered it. Hopefully nothing else weird happens between now and the start of the game, Brad.
Yeah, you think, though, too, Jake, if they elect to go a pace like that and they do lean on Kyler, you know, that does take away from a lot that they could do, you know, as you're saying, you know, wrinkles and plays off of plays. A lot of their use of Moore in the past couple weeks, you know, on the jet sweeps and things that he's been very good at. I mean, that probably eliminates a lot of that from your game if you're in just going to let Kyler call it in a hurry up, you know.
Yeah, for sure. They don't motion much anyway, which helps them a little bit, so they won't have too long of play calls. I think they're 29th in motion percentage, so they don't do much of that. They're used to using four wide receivers. They lead the NFL in 10 personnel usage. So if they want to just get those four wideouts, one back on the field and go and just like try to backyard football it, I could see it. I could see it because, like I said, this is a unique situation unlike anything we've seen. So the Browns will need to be prepared for any mixture of outcomes in this thing. It'll be so strange. It'll be something to pay attention to. And of note, the Cardinals had a good defensive week last week, but they stopped San Francisco four times on fourth down. So that ties into how does Cleveland play on fourth down this week? That will be a key to victory. Let's get to your keys of victory here, Brad. What are your three? And then we'll close on that.
Well, I'll start by saying, I've been saying all week on all the shows and appearances I did this week, Jake, this is the justice game. It just feels like a justice game for the Browns that – you know, the Cardinals should have lost like twice and the Browns should have won twice. This is where the Browns deliver justice and even the scales of justice and make everything okay and right all those wrongs kind of in my eyes. But yeah, so we'll see how it goes. You know, my first key, and I said I got a little specific with this, but this was one last week, but I even think it's more important this week. And it's not a knock on Baker, but I think that the Browns have to get out to a fast start. Again, I don't think that from what we have seen in the past couple weeks that Baker is in a place, whether due to his shoulder and some of the poor vision that we've seen, that he's in a place to really kind of rally the Browns back with his right arm. Now, a couple weeks later in the season when he's feeling healthy and maybe he gets into that groove again like we saw last year where he's playing really well, that could be a different story. But this doesn't seem to be the week where you want to fall behind and put a lot on his shoulders. So I think a fast start, once again, it was one of my keys last week, but I think it's absolutely huge this week too.
It would help. It would help because you want to make the Cardinals who enter the game feeling uncomfortable stay uncomfortable. And playing catch-up in nasty, windy weather is a situation where you could help your defensive line do what they do best and tee off and get after the quarterback and try to make everything feel condensed on top of Kyler. That would be a big thing. So I'm with you. I certainly don't want to put the game on Baker's shoulders because of where he's at right now. but also he's got to get out of that funk at some point. If he's going the places that he wants to go and this team wants to go, he's got to figure it out. So, yeah, hopefully they can do a little bit of both, right? Get out in front, but maybe Baker's the reason they get out in front. That would be really great to see that sort of deal there. What's your key number two?
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, number two, obviously, how do you contain Kyler Murray? And, you know, so I told you I was watching a lot of that 49ers game because they did a pretty good job with him. And, you know, some very, pretty much same scheme, a lot of the same concepts and stuff like that, you know, that, you know, like Cardinals are going to try to stress the safeties that played poorly last week for the Browns. They're going to do a lot of that. But as far as containing Kyler, you know, I think you have to be careful with Miles in his speed rush stuff. Sometimes they just run right past, you know, how often have we seen Miles and those guys speed rush from the outside and run right past these quarterbacks and open up lanes? I think if you concentrate, they've been doing such a good job, Jake, playing those interior games off of each other. If you kind of structure those towards pressure up the middle, and I think JOK can play a big factor here. I think you do have to bring pressure at certain times with him, but I think if you use JOK with, like, delayed pressure, because Kyler always, it's often him not, you know, he escapes the first pressure and then makes the play downfield. So maybe, you know, having him around the line of scrimmage, you know, covering it back out of the backfield, but give him the freedom to, you know, shoot that secondary pressure, I think would be really important, or even structure it that way so that he can come on a delayed blitz. Will slow his ability to, he hasn't killed people with the run a lot. He has had some really back-breaking runs at opportune times. Last week, I think he had a 3rd and 16. He scampered for 18 and got a first down. Like, those are killer, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think if you use JOK in that manner and focus on pressure up the middle and not so much speed on the outside, I think that would be really important to containing him.
Yeah, have a pass rush plan. Whatever your plan is, don't just send two people high side and expect your D tackles to clean up a guy who can run like Kyler. They're not. You made a great point, Brad. They're not designed running him much. They're really not. I think he's only run like 30 times for 100 yards this year. He's not running a ton. And that means that they've taken him out of, like, that's a difference between him and Lamar. He doesn't run to set up his pass. Like, he uses his legs to sort of tee up extended opportunities. They use Lamar as a runner. He's a part of their featured run game in Baltimore. He is not a featured runner here. He is a thrower, and he's been throwing well. He's at 75%. He's had those backbreaking runs here and there. He's also had backbreaking scramble drill plays where he's made out of structure ridiculousness happen. So you're right. They cannot let him just escape pressure to throw downfield, you know, extend a play that was a 2.5 time to throw and turns it into a 3.5 or 4 because he scrambles and makes somebody miss and gets out in space. Some of that will happen because he's just too special. But how do you limit those 5 or 6 plays, right? How do you make plays downfield? Can't have busted coverages like last week. And you're right. A thing that struck me yesterday, I was talking to John Colosimo on my pod, and he noted that Joe Woods was asked about drafting JOK for these types of quarterbacks. And he immediately said, yes, like this is a huge thing, right? Like him and Grant Delpit, who he also mentioned, are guys that they're trying to use to help in these situations because they're special. They're twitchy. They're just like him as a runner. So hopefully they do some things to get Kyler and JOK into the same area, and he can sort of box them in. You're right. They could delay him. They could spy him. I don't love spying a guy like Kyler who loves to throw that much just because of the taking a guy out of coverage. But I do like green dogging them. I do like, hey, man, my man stayed in here. I can get after the quarterback a little bit now. I don't mind having aggressive zone eyes where if you're in curl flat and you feel him come your way, you're an instant trigger up to play the quarterback. So look for some of that stuff. They should get creative, though. They definitely should get creative because Kyler is a unicorn in this regard. He is different in that he uses a gift that he has, but he uses the gift to pass it off to his arm. So he's not like Lamar in that sense. They're a little different. He's extend plays to throw, not extend plays to run unless he absolutely has to. So
yeah,
great second point there, Brad. What's your last one?
All right, last one is, you know, I don't want to bring up this topic. I've talked about it way too much all week long, but I'm not bringing up the topic for this reason that you would think, but maybe because I just think it's the easiest way to go about it for the Browns, is they're going to need somebody to show up big in the pass game. Last week it was Njoku, and they're going to need a big day from somebody. Why not let it be Odell Beckham Jr.? And I think what you can do, and probably the smartest thing that they can do, and one thing I kind of noticed in watching some of the Cardinals is they're not real disciplined in their gap integrity. They're not real disciplined on the edge. You can kind of attack the edge on them. You know, the 49ers did it a lot. Why not get Odell some touches on a jet sweep, on a reverse, and then maybe on like a wide receiver screen, all in the first quarter or all in the first beginning of the game? And even if he doesn't turn that into a huge day, you've made them recognize him as the threat that he is and pay attention to him. So now the OBJ factor is real. And once again, like we saw last week where Higgins walks in with a touchdown because everybody goes to OBJ, right? That factor is a part of the pass game. And that just helps Baker and just helps everybody else. But even better result is he takes that early involvement and they unlock something and turns into a big day. Because somebody's going to need to step up. No Jarvis back this week. Why not let it be OBJ? And they really haven't made that concerted effort to get him involved early like I think they could have up to this point. Why not do it this week?
He's been open. He's been open at a really high rate, and he's had opportunities. Some haven't been thrown. Some have been thrown inaccurately. One drop has happened at a really tough time. So you're right. Finding some way to help rhythm OBJ, maybe it helps simultaneously rhythm Baker. Maybe they can bust a play or two out of it. If we go another week here, Brad, where we only see Odell get 3 targets and 2 catches, it's going to be like, what on earth is going on? How can you not find a play or two to get these guys going? So I'm not doing it either. I'm not meandering down that path because it's a no-win for everybody involved. But if it continues and you see a low target share going his direction and you see only 20-ish to 30-ish yards, you're going to have to start saying, what is it worth? What is going on? Because I don't notice the offense any different right now. I just don't. People can say whatever they want to say, but there's games of evidence both ways, a lot of them now. So let's figure it out. Too talented. Got to figure it out. This was great, Brad. You're the man. I appreciate this. Who do you think wins this game? Give me your prediction.
I actually think the Browns win. I think there's a lot of favors in their direction. I think a lot of people are going to look at Chubb as more of a loss than it really is, not taking away from how special he is. But I just think Kareem shows up big. We've heard some quotes from some people behind the scenes talking about how fired up he is for this one. I know he was a little dinged early, but it feels like a lot of precaution with the short week coming up this week on that super long injury list. I think a lot of those guys plays. I think Greg Newsom's back. I think the Browns defense will look better. I think they sure up those connection, the communication issues from last week. Safety's got to be better. Safeties were terrible last week. It wasn't even your corners. It was your safeties,
Yep.
People talk about the depth, and that wasn't even it. It was your starting safeties that were poor. So they've got to play well. But I think the Browns look good, and I think that Baker looks good, and I think he can do it in the intermediate and short game in this and not really have to stretch the field with that arm or whatever yet and still be very productive like he was last week, although, he missed a lot down the field. I think some of that may be, a little afraid to let that thing fly with the shoulder or whatever. So who knows? But either way, I think the Browns win, and I've got them winning by more than 10.
Nice, nice. I have 26-19 is where I'm going to go. I think there's going to be some weird field goals placed in this one. Something like that, right around a touchdown game. I think it could go either way, but I think it's a touchdown game for Cleveland. Two injuries I will be closely watching. I'm pretty settled on it's going to be Blake Hance at left tackle. It's Jack Conklin. I'm watching very seriously to see if he can play, because if you're starting two sure. backup tackles, you start to get a little sweaty armpit action going on there. So we'll pay attention to Conklin. We'll pay attention to Clowney. Those are the two guys I'm unclear on whether they are playing. So we'll check that out. We'll feel it out. Pay attention to the early injury reports. We at the OBR will be on at 3 o'clock for your pregame show. We'll be on after the game for the postgame show. Brad, you will have your podcast up afterwards. We'll have mine probably up by the end of the night too on the OBR film breakdown. Hopefully you guys enjoy the game. It's a late game again, so enjoy your 1 o'clock kicks. Get this podcast in. Hopefully you guys are feeling good, ready to go. Appreciate you joining me, Brad.
Always, Jake. It's a blast. Go Browns.
That's right. Go Browns, guys. Have a great Sunday, and we'll catch you next week.